Are we ready? Well, let's do it. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful for each and every time we can come together as your children to look into your word. And Lord, we thank you for the extreme cautions, the often common cautions that you give us in your word concerning those in this world that are out to deceive, make even us as your children a little less usable to you, even keeping those that don't know you from you. So, Lord, we thank you for the common cautions that you give us in your word. And as we look into a false teaching tonight, Lord, just guide us, teach us, and convict us, perhaps, if there's an area we need to be convicted in, and just make us diligent stewards of your word, Lord. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So, last week we talked about false teachers in general. It was kind of an introduction to what we're going to be looking at through this series. And this week we are going to begin focusing on a false teaching, all right? And I think the natural place to start this series is with a false teaching, I think, that has infiltrated the church and perhaps exploited it more than any other. Many mega churches are mega churches because of this false teaching. The biggest church in our country right now promotes this false teaching and puts it forth as something that is good and beneficial. And even true believers, even those who have truly placed their faith in Christ can and have fallen prey to this. Before I give you the title of the false teaching, here is one of their arguments of support, and this will kind of lead you into what the topic is tonight. But here's one of their arguments in support of this false teaching. They would say something along the lines of, you know, Noah was wealthy. Abraham was wealthy. King David, King Solomon, they were wealthy. Many of the heroes of the faith were wealthy. In fact, an argument that I remember from years and years back, this is one that I heard. It was about Job. Job was a wealthy and healthy man, and he lost it all. He became poor. He became sick. And the argument is, if God wanted him to be poor rather than wealthy, he would have left Job where he was. But he didn't. He gave him wealth and health and happiness all over again. And they would even claim, a lot of them, in fact, one of the clips that we watched, video clips that we watched last week, there was one guy that said, you know, aside from tradition, aside from what you've always learned, you know, Jesus, the apostles, they were actually very wealthy men, is what he said. All right. So that's their claim, and therefore their teaching is that God wants us to be healthy, wealthy, and happy. And it's called the prosperity gospel. And I did make a PowerPoint here. I am so not tech savvy, so this was not easy for me. So if you enjoy this, don't get used to it. It may or may not happen again, okay? The prosperity gospel, though, is what we're going to be looking at. And really, what the prosperity gospel is, or what it means, is it's the gospel, or the good news that they're putting forth is that you, as a believer, should be and can be healthy, wealthy, and happy as a Christian, okay? And here's a video about what we're going to be looking at tonight. Just to get us started here. Oh, nope. I should have a
Oh, it's a white screen and a white pointer. What am I going to do now? All right, there we go.
God's dream in your mind is much bigger than your own. If your hope is in the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached at Jordan and Julia Osteen's megachurch, live in a church where the boldness, power, and uncompromise. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation for all those who believe. The Jew first and also the Greek. What's the power of God unto salvation? And that is the ultimate question.
Sadly, the power of God unto salvation, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, has been overshadowed and in some cases replaced entirely by a false gospel.
Jesus said, I came that you might have and enjoy your life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Now you can drive and swim with the car and you have a plane and you have all of the accoutrements of success. Mm-hmm. How do you explain that?
One of the arguments that comes from our book, I don't think the issue with clergy is what you're doing here. It's more how you got it.
And in this video, trusted teachers such as Justin Peters, General Cocker, Bodenbacher, and John Piper exposed the conversion of the true gospel supplanted by the demonic lies of the prosperity gospel made mainstream around the world by mega-rich pastors and false teachers like D.D. Jakes, Kenneth Cohen, and Craig Fogado, Joe Smyrna, Bonita Biden, Paula White, Joel, and Julia Alstino.
How many times have we heard the gospel presented this way? God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life.
God's dream for your life is much bigger than your own.
You can build your life around that. It's called the prosperity gospel.
Prosperity gospel has no interest in the biblical gospel.
The places he's going to take you, the doors that are going to open.
Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the world. That's pretty devastating.
The people you're going to meet are going to far exceed anything you thought.
Is that true? Yes. Not itself is true. God does love us, and he does have wonderful plans for our lives.
What God has for you is going to bother your mind.
God had a wonderful plan for Stephen's life. The wonderful plan that God had for Stephen's life was to be stoned.
The favor you're going to step into.
God had a wonderful plan for Peter's life. The wonderful plan that God had for Peter's life was to be crucified upside down.
The dreams you're going to accomplish.
You just ate your fill and thought, Jesus is very useful.
The giants you're going to defeat.
This is dangerous. God had a wonderful plan for the Apostle Paul's life. The wonderful plan that God had for the Apostle Paul's life was to be shipwrecked, stoned, imprisoned, beaten, ultimately,
the Bible records in Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 and 24, the following words of Jesus to his disciples. Truly I say to you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. It's interesting how thousands of so-called preachers and pastors around the world are set on mission week in and week out, Sunday after Sunday, promising millions of people the very thing that can ensnare them and stop been conceiving as it were the kingdom of God.
God has put his blessing on your life, a divine empowerment.
Sometimes what God deems as wonderful may not always seem so wonderful to us.
You're not doing things on your own. There is a supernatural force breathing in your direction.
They had all the same appetites they had when they came to Jesus, but now they can see a better way to get him set aside, so he has become wonderfully useful. You can do some to that.
The pews of the so-called churches are filled with people who are eagerly waiting to hear that which will ultimately entice their mind and desire and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life.
Man, you're awesome. I wish you knew how awesome you are. You are just so awesome. So powerful, so amazing.
All right. It's a lengthier video, but I just wanted to introduce it in that regard there. That is the prosperity gospel. Later on in this series, we are going to expose a few other false teachings that are prevalent within this movement. But for tonight, we're just going to look at what the prosperity gospel is, what it teaches as a whole. And it's also been called the seed of faith movement, name it and claim it movement, okay, and positive confession theology. That was new to me. I hadn't heard that particular title yet, but positive confession theology. But here's something to understand, though, just as we get into this and before we look at what it teaches, I want us to understand that within this movement, there are many who preach a fairly clear message about Jesus. Okay? They preach salvation by God's grace alone, Jesus as the only remedy for sin, and faith in Him as the only means to obtain that salvation. I got saved through the prosperity gospel service. Now there were many people who had shared God's word with me outside of that up until that point, but at that service, I heard about Jesus. I heard about my need for Him. I heard about His payment for my sin. And that was all preached, and it was at that service that I placed my faith in Christ. However, those who have grown mega churches, if you will, through this theology, the bigger they get, it seems the more often or the less they will talk about sin. Okay, the less they will talk about the depravity of man and man's desperate need for Jesus, even if they themselves believe it. Because it's about the numbers. It's about getting what they want. And they will rather emphasize then the abundance in this life as the good news. As the good news. So what does the prosperity gospel teach? Well, here are some things that it teaches, and I'm going to give you five basic teachings that are often emphasized within this movement. Here's the first one. God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and happy in this life. That's the basis of their teaching. God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and happy in this life. And they will quote an abundance of scripture to support that teaching. I've only got one listed there, but here's a few of them. If you're taking notes, you can jot them down. Psalm 23, 5 and 6 says, "My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's from the 23rd Psalm. Proverbs 10:22, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it." 3 John 1:2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Malachi 3:10, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not enough room to receive it." And then John 14:14, "If you ask anything in my name," this is Jesus speaking, "if you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And there are many others like this, all right? Therefore, God must want me to be healthy, wealthy, and happy if I want that, all right? And here's how you get it. Number two, health, wealth, and happiness is acquired by faith. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Health, wealth, and happiness are acquired by believing that God will give them to you. Third, health, wealth, and happiness are acquired by positivity. You deserve to be healthy, wealthy, and happy. God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and happy. So stop thinking that you're unworthy. Stop thinking that you don't deserve it. Stop thinking those negative thoughts. Think positive thoughts. If I'm not mistaken, this prosperity gospel theology, I don't know that it originated in the early 1900s, but it certainly got its legs under it during the early 1900s, ignited by books like Think and Grow Rich and the Power of Positive Thinking. Health, wealth, and happiness are acquired by positivity, according to this prosperity gospel. And then health, wealth, and happiness are acquired by giving. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house," is God speaking. "And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." The more you give, the more you get, is what they teach. And the video clip we saw last week of T.D. Jakes saying that he gives so much that God owes him. That's what he said in the last week's video. I give so much to God that God owes me now. All right. And it's funny, he was in this clip too here with Oprah Winfrey, and it's interesting that he says it's not so much what the things that we acquire, the riches we acquire, it's how we get it. And boy, he was actually prophesying about himself there, because we're going to talk about how they get it and why this works here in a minute, or works for them here in a minute. All right, so health, wealth, and happiness are acquired by giving. And then the fifth one is, if you don't have wealth or health, wealth, and happiness, it's because you're not doing these things. Kenneth Copeland in our video again last week said, you can have it all. You can have it all if you'll receive it. Okay? In other words, if you don't have it, if you don't have health, wealth, and happiness, it's your fault. Okay? It is your fault. You are doing something wrong. You don't have enough faith. You're not being positive enough. You're not giving enough. The prosperity gospel teaches these things. And here's one of their arguments. God has provided salvation through Christ as a free gift, and you must believe in Him to receive that gift of salvation. And if you don't, you don't have it. Okay? That is biblically true. So they reason, it only stands to reason, that if God also provides abundance, health, wealth, happiness, we must believe it to receive it. And if we don't have it, well, that's why. We don't believe it. We're not believing hard enough. What do you think about that? Get you involved here a little bit. What do you think about that? Well, Elmo?
Faith is a gift.
Okay, faith is a gift. There are a few passages that allude to that.
Why would we think that it's something we could come up with on our own?
Okay, all right. Richard?
Well, I've heard these people for most of my life, and it basically boils down to a guilt trip.
Okay.
You're not doing it, so you're not getting it. And if you don't do it, you're not getting it. So you and you're guilty for not giving.
Okay, that's right. They put you on a guilt trip, for sure, especially in the giving aspect. If you would just give more, you would get more. Yeah. Right. Other thoughts? Debbie?
They're focusing on the wrong thing. God has different things for each of us. Some is
okay, they're focusing on the wrong thing, and I like what you said, because we're going to talk about this later on, that There's nothing wrong with riches in themselves. Right. Okay. There are rich people that are very, very godly, spiritual people. For sure. So, yep. Cindy. Okay, yes, they are focusing on themselves, their power, their strength. Jeff?
When you listen to them, I've listened to a lot, they're not ministers or preachers, they're motivational speakers.
Yeah, they are not like ministering to the people, right. They're motivational speakers, for sure. All right, any other thoughts? Yeah, Natalie?
More worldly and materialistic focus rather than the wealth and the love, like, inside and, like, things that you have.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very earthly focused rather than heavenly focused. In fact, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is a passage we're going to talk about. Jeff?
And for every passage that they use kind of to support this, there's other passages that be content. God's going to provide.
Oh, don't go stealing my thunder now.
Okay.
No, and I hope you all know that and heard Jeff. Yeah, they've got these passages that they rip right out of context to support what they want to teach, and there are 10 times as many that talk about being content with such things you have. Be thankful.
We're talking about Jesus was wealthy. Didn't he say, "Hey, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head"?
That's right. Yeah, foxes have holes. I got nothing. That's what Jesus said. That's right. That's right. All right. So, why is the prosperity gospel false? And I've actually got 8 reasons for you, and these are not all of them. Okay, I probably could have come up with more, but I think these are pretty foundational. But number one is it's not the gospel. That's not the gospel at all. It isn't about prosperity. Okay. In fact, I have another video for you. Okay. I'm going to need to do a black screen next time. Oh, there it is. Found it.
Causes news reporters, both Dolos and Sprague, then see this passive response. Osteen preaches his own version of what's known as the prosperity gospel. God is a loving, forgiving God who will reward believers with health, wealth, and happiness. To become a better you must, be positive towards yourself, develop better relationships, embrace the place where you are.
Yeah.
Not one mention of God in that, not one mention of Jesus Christ in that.
That's just my message. There is scripture in there that backs it all up, but I feel like, I don't know how they help people. How do we walk out the Christian life? How do we live? And these are principles that can help.
Some of the people who get on television, I call them the joy boys, and they have this message. You get right with God, you're going to be healthy, you're going to be wealthy. It's cash, comfort, headlines, you're going to go. By the way, send me a little money. You can just get right and believe God, have anything you want. But there's one thing wrong with that line that you're doing. So
pray for more words like this.
All right. Yeah, it's not the gospel at all. In fact, that was on 60 Minutes, and the reporter on 60 Minutes was calling him out right from his own book. Here's what you're saying that we need to do. I don't see God and Jesus anywhere in this book. All right. And call them out. The gospel of the Bible, the good news of God's word, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins. In fact, you can find it in summation form in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. In fact, I gave you 4 verses. It actually fits in about 1.5 of those verses. But Paul talks about the fact that he received it, and now he's sharing it with other people, all right? And that's what we're supposed to do. But it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins. That's the good news. Without God and his intervention, we are separated from him forever. That is bad news. That's scary. We are sinners in the face of a holy and perfect God, and there's nothing that we can do within ourselves to remedy it. So the good news is God did it for us. He sent his son to die and take the penalty for our sins for us so that we, through simple childlike faith in him, could receive that gift of salvation and have it. It is a promise of God. The fact that the prosperity of the believer in this life is not the good news of the Bible. In fact, the prosperity gospel is not good news at all. Think about that for a minute, and then tell me why I might say the prosperity gospel is not good news at all. Jeff, go ahead.
Scripture says that if you're friends with the world and the lust of the eyes, everything else, then you have enmity with God.
Okay. Enmity with God. Yeah, the friendship with the world is enmity with God. All right.
Makes prosperity the goal, not Jesus.
Absolutely. It makes prosperity on earth the goal and not our life with Jesus in heaven. Martin.
Jesus told the rich young ruler to go give it all away.
I think that verse comes up in my notes here a little bit later, too. Yeah, that's right. He told the rich young ruler, give it all away to the poor and then come follow me. All right. And Jesus knew this rich young ruler's heart and knew that his heart loved his riches more than God, for sure. All right, so what else might be bad news about the prosperity gospel? Nick? Okay, all right, no assurance if you don't have prosperity. Joe? Okay, and that's a trap, certainly. We're going to talk about that, too. Elmo, did you have something?
About the same thing.
Okay.
If your heart is the treasures of this world, your heart is not going to be with God.
Okay, and according to the prosperity gospel and the things that I outlined, let's go back there for a minute. God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise in this life. Happiness is acquired by faith, by positivity, and by giving. And if you don't have it, it's because you're not doing these things. It depends on you. That's pretty scary. I know how undependable I can be, even toward some of you, okay? So, yeah, that's a scary thought. Jeff, do you have one more thing?
Yeah, and the thing is, if you're pursuing that, and you start getting those, where is it? You go, hey, I made it. You know that the rich you get, it's never enough. And you, hey, if I made it this, wouldn't you want more? But you're never satisfied.
Right. Yeah, greed. That's greed. Yep. All right. So the prosperity is not the gospel of the Bible. Let's see if I can get back here. It's not the gospel. Secondly, faith is not a work nor the power. And we may actually do an entire lesson on faith as a work. But basically what they're saying is that the reason you're not prosperous is you're not believing hard enough. Okay? Faith though is not a work. It is not a work nor the power. According to the prosperity gospel, if you believe that you can be rich, it is your belief or the strength of your faith that produces it. It defines and utilizes faith as a work, but it's not. Faith in the Bible is us. It's us trusting in the power of God. And whether our faith really is strong or weak, whether we are faithful or not, God can't deny himself. He's going to be faithful to us. It's his power. It's his power. In fact, Vodi Bakum on our video here tonight quoted Romans 1:16, where Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." And to say, well, you didn't believe hard enough, and so you're not prosperous, that is just bad news. That would be like telling somebody you didn't believe hard enough and that's why you're not saved. Number three, God lifts and lowers. God lifts and lowers. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. And really what this is telling us is that God blesses some people with poverty. How might being poor be a blessing? Okay, Elmo says we'll have a lot less to worry about. I got to tell you, lately, and this just popped into my mind, I cannot believe how much stuff has been breaking at my house. I'm always fixing something. Yeah, and if I had less, I'd have less to fix. Amanda.
Missionary, I want to be moving about. We have all this stuff. We have to pack it all up and move, and just it's going to become cumbersome. We can't have it. And also, like the other side, just his faith and reliance on God and how it grew because he was just relying on God.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the more stuff that we have, the harder it is to, for us at least, for God to move us if he wants to move us, right? Yeah, what you have should not define you. God lifts, he lowers. There are blessed, spiritually blessed poor people and spiritually blessed wealthy people. The poor are more likely, as has been mentioned, to depend upon God for their daily bread, as should the rich be. However, the rich are tempted to rely on themselves. All right, next one. Many heroes of the faith were not healthy or wealthy or happy. Job was not happy. King Solomon, the richest man that ever lived, was not happy, and he wrote an entire book about it. All right. Jeremiah was not happy. Hosea was not happy. Paul was sickly. Timothy had stomach issues. John the Baptist was dirt poor. You go to dinner at his camp, it's locusts, okay? The widow who gave everything was poor. These are heroes of the faith. Many heroes of the faith were not healthy, wealthy, or happy. It focuses on earthly life rather than heavenly life. That's what Natalie talked about earlier. Turn to this one. Matthew, in fact, I was going to have you turn to a couple of these and failed to. But Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6. Verses 19 and 20, and this is Jesus speaking. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. You see, everything, we talked about this a little bit last week too, but everything on this earth will one day be gone. It will burn, okay? Everything stored in heaven will last. And the prosperity gospel, as many of you pointed out already, focuses on the earthly rather than the heavenly. Here's the next one. Physical wealth is spiritually dangerous. Physical wealth, or earthly wealth, is spiritually dangerous. Not wrong, not sinful, but it can be dangerous. And a few of you have mentioned this already, but why?
Because
Why can it be spiritually dangerous? Jeff?
Because it takes your focus on God and you start to rely on yourself.
Okay, it takes your focus off of God. You start getting self-confident rather than God-confident. And money becomes our solution, our what we're relying upon for everything. Revelation 3:17, in that chapter there, Jesus himself calls out a local church that had gotten to that point. They were wealthy in the things of this world. And he says, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, you don't even know that you're wretched and poor in my eyes. Blind and naked. God through Paul. Let's turn to this one too. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. The Apostle Paul commanding young pastor Timothy to do this. He says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So according to this verse, what is the danger of riches? And you've said it a couple times, but tell me what the verse says. Okay, get kind of boastful, right? Boastful and looking inward, proud of ourselves. We begin to trust. And go ahead, Linda.
I think it's spiritually dangerous because the more wealth we get, that's what they keep wanting. And then the next thing they want is power.
Okay. Wealth, power, yeah, agreed. It's never enough. It's never enough. There's a particular word here that it's not there by accident, but it says,
uncertain.
Ah, there you go, uncertain. That's right, uncertain riches. Money comes and money goes, doesn't it? And the instant we depend on it, it's going to let us down. And that is why we must be dependent upon God. In Luke 18:25, it says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man enter the kingdom of God. Let me ask you this again from the 1 Timothy verse. Is having an abundance of things wrong? No. From the verse, how do you know that? Okay, you can use it to do good.
Storing up treasures in heaven means using the things, your wealth, to further the gospel and, you know, helping spread the gospel.
Okay.
So
yeah.
You'll get to see that.
Using it for the furtherance of the gospel. There's something else you see there that tells us that it's not wrong to have these things. Okay, generous, share. Anything else? Where do they come from? Yeah. And why does he give them to us? That's right. It says to enjoy it and share it. Share that joy with others. Absolutely. How might a rich person enjoy his abundance? Using it to bless others. Using it to invest in heavenly treasures. In Mark 10:21, then Jesus, looking at him, but he loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way and sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come and take up your cross and follow me. Martin isn't that rich guy. He just said that verse earlier, just in case you didn't hear. All right. Anyway, Physical wealth can be spiritually dangerous. And then poor health. This is another reason why prosperity gospel is false, because it talks about health, wealth, happiness. Well, poor health is the result simply of this sin-cursed world. Even rich people get sick and they die. And there are some, not the dying part, I was going to say there are some comical things that some of these prosperity preachers have said, and then they get sick, really, really sick, okay? And I don't even know how they explain that to their people. All right. With sin came sickness, suffering, pain, and death. These are just simply unavoidable facts of this fallen world. Because we are still sinners, living in a sin-filled world. In fact, it was God's will that Paul stay sick, that he would humbly continue to rely on God's grace. Turn to this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 7 through 9. This is Paul speaking, and he says, Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. And he's talking about all of the things that God had shown him, and he's putting down on paper for us now. But he says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength, God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So poor health has nothing to do with our lack of faith. It has nothing to do with our lack of positivity. It has nothing to do with our lack of giving. It is just a fact of this sin-cursed world. And then I think this is the last reason why the prosperity gospel is false. Its focus is not on a Savior, but on a Santa Claus. What do you suppose I mean by that? Jeff?
As kids, when you do Santa Claus, you make a list of what you want.
Okay.
And that's what he's saying. Hey, make your list and God's going to get it.
That's right. Make your list like you do with Santa Claus and he'll get it for you. Other thoughts there?
Forgetting their sin.
What's that?
Forgetting their sin.
Forgetting their sin?
They need a Savior.
Okay, okay. All right. Forgetting where they came from. Valerie?
It's fake.
It's what?
It's fake. It's not real.
Okay. Really? I'm learning that right now. No. No, he is fake. He's not real. But, okay. All right. Amanda? Okay, make sure you're good. All right. Any other thoughts there? My thinking on that was more along the lines of what Jeff was saying, and I really liked what John Piper said on our video. He said the recipients of the miraculous bread, when Jesus provided food for the 4,000 and 5,000, okay? The recipients of the miraculous bread now saw Jesus not as a Savior, but useful. Now I can get what I want from Jesus. And that's kind of how we think of Santa Claus, isn't it? We look at Santa Claus as the guy that can get us everything that we want, everything that we wish for. They saw him as a way to get earthly things they wanted rather than the heavenly things they needed. They treat him like Santa Claus rather than the sovereign God of the universe. They wanted their will, not God's will. They were greedy rather than grateful. And that is why the prosperity gospel is false. Now we got about 15 minutes left here, and I think I can get done. But where's the harm? What's the harm in it? I mean, I said earlier there are those within this movement who do believe the biblical gospel of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for our sins, and some even preach it. So what is the harm, really, in pursuing our best life now, as Joel Osteen says? Jeff?
For every person, like you said, that's a true believer, there's probably 10 people that are falsely, going to that church because that's what they're pursuing. And it's blinding them so they never get to see the actual truth.
Okay. So, all right, so it keeps lost people from the truth, Cindy?
Every single thing, you lose your focus.
Okay, lose our focus. Debbie? Okay, yeah, they're picking select things to show them. Yes. I forgot your name, it just left me.
It's Charity.
Charity. Okay, yeah, it could destroy somebody's faith. What I said earlier too was that for a believer to buy into this could make me less usable for God. Nick? Right. Again, there are believers. We're talking about false teachings that are infiltrating the church. And I'm not just talking about buildings that have the word church on them. I'm talking about people, you and I, who are believers, true believers. So what is the harm in pursuing your best life now? Martin? Okay, Ananias and Sapphira, that's right. They gave, but they lied about what they were giving, right? And God struck them dead. Natalie?
I feel like now is such a small blip in all of eternity, and focusing on your prosperity in this life really is not going to benefit you in eternity.
Okay, yeah. This life is going to be gone, and our riches are going to be gone with it. Valerie? Okay, yeah, they might, in order to keep their economic wealth, they may believe the false prophet, right, Richard?
Well, it's a false faith.
Okay, it is a false faith.
Nothing at the end of it except
hell. I think it was John Piper on here. No, it was actually the narrator. He said, it feeds people, even believers, the very thing that keeps them from God. Okay? It feeds the sin inside of us and leads others to sin. Romans 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer?" And what this does is it builds the greed and desire and temptation inside of us. And you and I, as believers, and I'm pretty confident in saying, you've been tempted, haven't you? Okay? Sin is tempting. It is. And that is a real harm. Here are some things I got listed for you. Its leaders are lustful. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 2, we went through all of that Sunday mornings. But its leaders are lustful. You see, they do what they do so that they can get what they want. Those prosperity preachers, they are making millions on people like you. They're exploiting you. Okay? So its leaders are lustful. Its teachers are deceitful. As Debbie said, they will focus on certain passages of Scripture and keep you away from other passages of Scripture. Its converts are exploited. They will prey on unbelievers as well as new and spiritually immature believers. And they will exploit one's lack of knowledge concerning God and His nature. Its followers are not victims, but lustful themselves. Think about that a minute. The reason it works is the people in the pews want what the preacher has.
Comes naturally.
Yep. That's why it works. That's why the prosperity gospel is so deceitful. It offers you the exact sin or lust or riches or health that you want. That's why it works. It uses the same tactic that the devil uses. He offers, tempts people with the sin that they desire. In James 1, 14 and 15, it says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin." It's huge. There are mega churches filled, stadiums filled with people because they're being told that you can have whatever lustful thing you want. Cindy?
Could it be called the worldview gospel?
It could be. It could be, yeah, because it is completely world-driven, worldly-driven, for sure. Yep. All right, and then its fruits are destructive. They actually generate their worst life now. This teaching robs believers of heavenly treasure. And I'll just tell you, the absolute worst years of my Christian life were the years I continued to pursue riches within the prosperity gospel. I mentioned that I came to Christ through that prosperity gospel. The gospel was actually preached. I received it. But for five years after that, I continued to pursue my lust of money just as they taught me to do. And it was a trap. I was obsessed with positive thinking, obsessed with self-affirmations, obsessed with investing my money, my time, my energy in earthly treasures. And oh, the money I lost. Oh, the time that I can never get back. Oh, how my family suffered. Oh, the misery I was in. Again, the absolute worst years of my Christian life were those 5 years that God was slowly drawing me out of that philosophy. While I did know the Lord, I did trust the Lord. He is my Savior, was my Savior. I still bought into this, what's the harm if I'm rich here on earth? In fact, my argument to myself was, just think of the work that I could do if I were rich. The missionaries I could help, right? I look back on it now and it's like a bad dream. It's like a bad dream. Philippians 3:18 and 19. Paul there says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. And these are people outside of the church, and even we can be exploited and deceived into pursuing those sorts of things. Its fruits are destructive, and its message is blasphemous, because it exalts me. It exalts me. It disgraces God. It makes me think that I'm in control. It quenches the Spirit of God. It teaches that we deserve rewards from God, that God owes us earthly riches, as if God's at our mercy. Job 41:11, God says, and this is God speaking, "Who has given to me that I should repay?" He goes on and says, "Everything under heaven is mine." It's mine anyway, right? Romans 11:33 through 36. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid him? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever." And to think anything else is blasphemous. All right. We got 4 minutes. I think I'm going to make it here. So what should we do? What should we do? All right. We have this information. What do we do with it? What's my purpose in teaching this, do you think? Jeff?
To not fall into the trap.
Okay, to not fall into the trap. Okay, so first of all, expose false teachers. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." That's part of my purpose in this series. Encourage those who have fallen prey to walk in truth. It took 5 years for God to lead me out of that philosophy, and he did it through people like you. He did it through my pastor at the time. He did it through friends of mine, okay? Bible teachers, pastors, friends. How do we avoid getting exploited and deceived? Be content with such things as you have. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." He said, "You got me. You got me. Well, what more could you possibly need?" Be content with such things as you have. Be thankful for such things as you have. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 19. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit." So be thankful for such things as you have. I think that's probably the greatest remedy for greed. Invest in heavenly riches. Oops. Nope. Live in the joy of Christ rather than the so-called happiness of the world. In John 15:11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Invest in heavenly riches. Matthew 6:19, Jesus says, "Lay up treasures in heaven." And then lastly, trust in the living God. Don't trust in anything other than him. All right, and it is straight up 8 o'clock. How about that? I made it. But thoughts and comments, you've got 5 seconds. No, we take a little bit of time if you got some thoughts or comments on what we've looked at here. Jeff?
If you saw that video with the 60 Minutes where he said, you know, you got this and you don't mention God or Jesus, he goes, "Well, that's just my message." That's what he said, my message.
That's exactly right.
I saw him, Larry King had John MacArthur, Joel Osteen, and I think it was a priest on there. And Larry King brought up He said, you never talk about sin. And he goes, you know, Larry, people are just so beaten down now.
Right.
He said, I just don't think that's what I want to do is kind of pile on. I want to be able to build my money. The gospel is that you're...
Right. Yeah. I've seen that Larry King interview with him and others. Yeah. And going back to the video again, T.D. Jakes saying, you know, it doesn't, with Oprah there, he says, it doesn't matter what you've got. It's how you got it. Well, he got it by exploiting other people. It matters a lot. That's right. He prophesied about himself there. He got it by exploiting and hurting other people. Richard.
Yeah, Jesus said, what does a profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?
Yeah. What does a profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Good. Linda.
Yeah, they don't want to teach about sin and devil and damnation because they'll lose their congregation.
Right. Oh, absolutely, yes. They want people in the seats, and if start telling people that they're sinners, they may not come back, but that is exactly what they need to hear so they can trust in their Savior. All right, one more comment. One more. Yeah, who is holding out? You wanted to say it? No? All right, go ahead, Bridger.
Lead by example.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, follow Jesus and people will follow you. Yeah, absolutely. Good. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for, again, just the clarity of your word concerning these things. The clarity of your word concerning what is honorable, shameful, right, wrong. The clarity of your word concerning who to look out for, be cautious of, and who to follow. And Lord, thank you that your word is so very clear on it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.